You're now listening to another edition of The More Abundant Life. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm glad you've joined us today. This program features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wendley Phipps. And today we're going to continue the series on the Ten Commandments that Pastor Phipps has begun and is continuing with commandment number 7, a call to purity, here on The More Abundant Life. We'll have some information at the end of our program that will allow you to obtain an audio copy of today's message and all of the messages that we have here on The More Abundant Life, so stay tuned for that. But just now, before we get to the message for today, here is a song entitled Always, some music by Wendley Phipps. You are listening to The More Abundant Life. We just heard music by Wendley Phipps. Always is the name of the song, and that's from the CD entitled The Power of a Dream. My name is Adrian Westney. We're now going to get to the message for today. Commandment number 7, a call to purity. This is a sermon that Pastor Phipps has preached as part of a series on the Ten Commandments, and we're going to get to that right now. In fact, today we're going to divide this message into two parts. So we're going to hear part one today. We will most likely run out of time, so you'll have to stay tuned for part two of this message. But today we'll hear part one of the message on the seventh commandment. Here now is Pastor Wendley Phipps.
You know that I've been preaching a series on the Ten Commandments, and I want to continue that series today. We're on the commandment that says, thou shalt not commit adultery. It was early in the morning. Jesus had begun to teach in the synagogue. From the back of the temple could be heard vindictive voices, voices filled with malice and contempt. Everybody looked around to see what the commotion was all about. And when they looked to the back, they saw a group of scribes and Pharisees. They were headed straight for Jesus. In their hands, they were shoving around and roughly carrying a woman they claimed had been caught in the very act of adultery. As they drew near to Jesus, the woman realized that she was in the presence of one too holy for her to look upon. The Pharisees shoved her until she fell at the feet of Jesus. The priest shouted, saying, Moses and the law commanded that we should stone such a woman. What do you say should be done with her, Jesus? The servant of the Lord makes it clear that the scribes and Pharisees had planned and executed the whole scenario, adultery and all, because they wanted to trap Jesus. They trapped someone into sin. Have mercy. So this confrontation was not only about adultery. The woman happened to be an innocent victim caught in the crossfire of hidden agendas. She was a scapegoat, if you will. The priest wanted to make her circumstance a referendum on their authority. You see, if Jesus condemned her, he would be charged with usurping their authority. If he forgave and acquitted her, he would be charged with being soft on adultery. And Jesus is not soft on adultery. He looked at the woman, shaking with fear, and Jesus did something remarkable. He was able to uphold the commandment while at the same time extending forgiveness. He looked into the eyes of the Pharisees. He read their motives. He knew that all of them, by heaven's standards, were guilty of the sin of adultery too. So Jesus stooped down, fixed his eyes on the ground, and that same finger that guides the planets in outer space, that same finger that wrote on tablets of stone on Mount Sinai, that same finger that wrote judgment on the walls of Babylon, began writing in the dust. They tried to ignore him, but they couldn't ignore him. See, not only was he writing their life histories in the dust, he was also signing the Emancipation Proclamation for all defenseless women. Are you with me today? Oh, you're not listening. He was liberating women from the double standard. I mean, after all, she wasn't committing adultery by herself. As those priests looked at what he was writing, everyone began to stutter. Jesus had written their names, and beside every name, he had listed their cherished sins and their adulterous desires and relationships. The people pressed in. They wanted to see what Jesus was writing. But Jesus is not part of the National Enquirer crowd. He's not about exposing us. Hallelujah! Instead, he gave them a chance to walk away with their dignity. He gave them the opportunity to do what they wouldn't give that woman an opportunity to do. The servant of God says that the priests trembled, hoping that the hidden sins of their own lives would not be exposed. And so one by one, head and eyes bowed down to the ground, those priests stole away quietly, leaving the woman alone with Jesus. "Woman," said Jesus, "where are thine accusers?" What a God. "Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee." "Of adultery? Go, sin no more." Brothers and sisters, in men's eyes, even though that woman was caught in the act of adultery, in God's eyes, she stood forgiven of adultery. You know, that woman's story ought to make a whole lot of us happy. That God forgives adultery. Now, what is adultery? Adultery never usually begins with sex. It usually begins with friendship. You know, a brush in the hallway at work. Stay with me this morning. Too tender a touch at the ballpark. A hug that lingers a little too long in the foyer of the church. And then a physical connection is made and an exciting electricity begins. A writer by the name of Walter Wangerin calls it the moment of maybe. Maybe. Just maybe. Now there is the possibility that maybe more than a friendship can be shared. And that's when the fantasies begin. That's when the unfair comparisons between you and your spouse begin. Think about it. You live with your husband, your wife, your spouse. You see him or her in the best of times, in the worst of times. You see the bad hair days. You see the no hair days. You smell the morning breath. The other odors, you experience the bad moods, the bad tempers, but you rarely see this person you're fantasizing about in the same way, because they're always dressed up, cologne down. Are you listening to me? They're projecting to you a fantasy. They have bad hair days too. Their breath smells bad in the morning too. But you only see them when they're smiling. And are you with me today? And then you say to yourself, why can't my wife always be like that? Heard about a young boy who his dad took him to the beach, and he kept looking around on the beach, and then he finally turned to his father and said, "Daddy, why don't all the people on this beach look like the people on Baywatch?" The dad with wisdom answered, "Son, nobody looks like that. Even the people on Baywatch don't look like that." The comparisons we make rob us of the joys that we ought to have with the person God has blessed us with. There will always be someone in your life who catches your eye. God says, say that again. I don't care how holy you are, how righteous you think yourself to be, there will always be someone who catches your eye. Just don't let them get in your head. What is adultery? Adultery is not about love. It's about lust. It's about selfishness. What does the seventh commandment actually address? The seventh commandment says, thou, come on, wake up, church. Thou shalt not commit adultery. What leads people to commit adultery? At first glance, this commandment seems real clear. We all think we know what adultery is. To most people, adultery is when married people have sex with people other than their husband or wife. But I want you to know, adultery includes that, but adultery is much more than that. Adultery also refers to any kind of immorality. In the Ten Commandments, it speaks about much more than married people. The seventh commandment speaks much more than married people having sex outside of marriage. For example, can I teach a little bit this morning? I said, can I teach a little bit this morning? The book of Deuteronomy. If you have your Bible, go with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 22, verse 22. Praise the Lord. I got my KJV, but I need an NIV this morning. Somebody let me borrow an NIV today. Amen. Deuteronomy 22, verse 22. It says in the KJV, if a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, they shall what? Both of them die. Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. Have mercy. You think adultery isn't serious to God? Verse 23, if a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto an husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel shall be stoned because what? She didn't cry out. Huh? And the man shall be stoned because he did what? Humbled his neighbor's wife. So thou shalt put away evil from among you. Verse 25. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, come on now, and the man force her, we're talking about rape here, and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. Some woman ought to say hallelujah today. But unto the damsel thou shalt do what? Nothing there is in the damsel, no sin worthy of death. Hallelujah! For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. And verse 27, for he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. And verse 28, if a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her. He may not put her away for the rest of his life. Woo! Wow! A whole lot of folks would have to marry a whole lot of people. If God said you lie with somebody, you can't put them away. Verse 30, a man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt. That's against incest. So the seventh commandment is about much more than just a man who is married running around. It's against incest. It's against rape. The woman shall not, oh, look at verse 5 of chapter 22, verse 5. Look at that. I just wanted to throw this in. Because the Lord tries his best to protect the differences between, amen, I got a preacher with me this morning. That's right, brother, preach it. He wants to put a distinguishing mark between men and women. He does not want your son to get with somebody and then find out that they were not a woman, they were a man. Come on now. So God says, and look at verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man, come on now, put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. So if there is something that is clear that this is how women dress, and you're a man, leave it alone. Go the other way. Amen. But God is even stronger than that. He wants to distinguish, you know, the distinguishing factors between male and female to be clear. Look at 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. God says to preacher, this is important this morning. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. God says in his word, the first time I read this, it shook me up because it let me see a lot of people don't realize what they're doing. Listen to this. Know ye not that, read it with me, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither what? Fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Wait, don't go past that word. Nor what? Do you know what that word means? God is not pleased with men swishing like women. Come on now. I didn't write it. I didn't write the letter. I'm just delivering the mail. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither what? Fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. So if you have a child that is displaying effeminate tendencies, address it. In the name of Jesus, address it. But he likes makeup. Nor abusers of themselves, with mankind. God in His Word is speaking out against homosexuality. Now, God is so awesome. He's not talking here about same-sex attraction. Because, yes, there are people whose minds and brains are so configured that they have same-sex attraction. What God is talking about is same-sex behavior. If you have your Bibles, look at Leviticus chapter 18. Oh, this is a heavy message this morning. I hope you're staying with me today. Because, you know, we don't hear these things preached. I said we don't hear these things preached. But I'm preaching it today. Whether it is politically correct or not, I'm going to preach the Word of God today. Look at Leviticus 18, chapter 22. I'm sorry? Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Look at what God's Word says. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down. Therefore it is confusion. Now, brothers and sisters, you may think this is evil stuff. I want you to know it's going on every day.
Well, that brings us to the end of our message for today. Not really to the end of the message. We have to stop the message where we did because we're out of time in our program. So we're going to broadcast the second part of this message in the next program of The More Abundant Life. So you'll want to stay tuned and tune in again for that. However, if you'd like to obtain an audio copy of what you heard today, today's message, here's what you can do. Call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. And you want to ask today for program number 339. Refer to program 339 today for the right reference to today's program. Again, the Seabrook telephone number, 301-577-6342. You may also email a request to the Seabrook Audiovisual Department at seabrookav@yahoo.com. And give them the same information and you can obtain this message. That brings us to the end of our program for today. I hope that you will tune in again to The More Abundant Life. But until you can, my name is Adrian Westney, and I want you to remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart.